I'm smiling because that picture of the girl painting is Kristen Armstrong from our communications team, and she and I were able to serve our local community in 8 days of hope. I had hoped that I would be able to paint because there's a lot of things I can't do, but I can paint. So we showed up at the work site, and there were 16 people, and the fellow who was in charge went up in the cherry picker to paint the third story, and so I was in charge and tried to get 16 people all putting paint on the building at the same time, ages 8 through 80. It was an interesting experience. Some of the paint actually made it on the house. I thought we were doing so well. By lunchtime, we had this whole side done, and the guy came down from where he was spraying, which was marvelous, by the way, and he said, "Well, that's great. It needs a second coat this afternoon." I went, But fortunately, the second coat went so much faster than the first. So Jesus is about to return to his Father after breaking the power of sin and death and rising from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus confirmed his claim to be the chosen one, the rescuer, the one sent from God. And before he returned to the Father's side, he gave us a commission, a job. Make disciples of people from all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I will be with you to the end of the age. So I want to answer a couple of questions this morning. What is a disciple? Today our core value is disciple making. So I want to ask the question, what is a disciple and how do you become one? And then, how do we make disciples? That's what Jesus, the job he gave us to do. Go, making disciples. Not just being one, but making them. So as we study the life of Jesus, we find a clue about what it means to be a disciple. The 12 men who followed Jesus and the other men and women are all called disciples, students, learners, followers. So we want to turn to Luke chapter 5 if you have your Bibles or want to use the Bible that's there in front of you or want to look there on your phone. We want to look at Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Jesus calling some of his first disciples. I'm going to begin in verse 1. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore, and then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." And Simon answered him, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." First, we see that disciples of Jesus accept his invitation. Invitation to what exactly? Jesus first offered his invitation when he got into the boat of Simon Peter and his co-workers. They had been listening to his teaching. They knew, like everybody there, who he was. But here he enters their space, their boat. Probably he wanted to get some space from the crowds, right? To give him a little bit of space. Maybe the water would help his voice to carry. And after he finished with the crowds, he turned to Simon Peter and offered another invitation to go deeper. Simon Peter's initial response shows that he struggled to accept this. "Rabbi, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything." I mean, Jesus, you're probably a great rabbi talking about spiritual things, but you sure are not a fisherman. And it's not very much fun to fish all night and not catch anything. It's very easy to like and respect Jesus as a person, as a historical figure. But it's a completely different thing to accept his invitation to trust him, to go into deep waters, to grow in our faith. However, in the end, Simon Peter decides to trust Jesus. And you can hear the tone of his voice, right? Not because you say so. We'll do it. Because God is gracious to us, I believe his Holy Spirit whispers to us, what if there is more to this life than you're experiencing right now? What if God has something completely new and different for you? Well, let's see what happened when Simon Peter accepted this invitation. I'm going to pick our story up back in verse 6. When they had done so, gone back into the water, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. They signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. So this situation changes quickly, right? There's the boredom of fishing all night and catching nothing. I don't know if any of you are fishermen, fisher people, like to fish. But it's no fun to fish all night and not catch anything. So it went from boredom to shock. Like, can you imagine their feeling as the nets were so full it like pulled them right out of their hands? But then it went to a sense of holiness, right? I think with that miracle, Simon Peter sensed that this is no ordinary rabbi. This is no ordinary human. What in the world? And in the holiness of Jesus, he sees his sin clearly. I am a sinful man. So in addition to accepting Jesus' invitation, disciples of Jesus repent of their sins. They repent of their sins. We believe that Jesus invites all of us to follow him. So what does it mean to be a disciple, a learner, a student, a follower of Jesus? We want to be clear that following Jesus is not simply a lifestyle-enhancing choice. Like, if I become a church person, it's going to help me lead a wholesome life, which may be true, but there's so much more to it. We're intrigued by this unique man, Jesus. We get to know more about him, and as we do, we are called to take a step of faith. Is he really the Son of God, the one sent to rescue us from our sin? Do we need to be rescued from our sin? Part of following Jesus is turning from our sin and turning to Jesus who can set us free. There comes a moment in all of our lives when Jesus will look us in the eye and say, "Follow me. Follow me." So before we go any further, I want to ask you, when Jesus said that to you, did you say yes? Or if Jesus is saying that to you today, will you say, "Yes, I will follow you"? Listen to Jesus' response to Peter's confession. Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid." So many unanswered questions. "From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore and left everything and followed him. It's a funny word picture, isn't it? Right? What does it mean to fish for people? Well, Jesus is using another metaphor, another word picture. Instead of fishing for fish, you will fish for people, helping others draw close to God. So disciples of Jesus grow in their faith by accepting his invitation, repenting of their sins, and participating in his mission, what we call the Great Commission. So let's move to our second question. We're called not only to be disciples, we're called to make disciples. So how do we do that? As Peter and the other disciples spent the next 3 years with Jesus, what did they see him do? They saw him treat people, especially the weak and the wounded, with great gentleness. His love and power changed their lives, healed them, gave them hope, brought them close to God. Jesus showed them and taught them how to make disciples, how to fish for men, how to participate in his work. I love it then, after he returns to heaven in Acts chapter 3, just a few days later, Peter and John are walking into the temple in Jerusalem and see a man begging for bread, and Peter looks him straight in the eye and says, "I do not have any silver or gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And he's healed instantly, and a crowd gathers around. And Peter tells the good news of a whole new life in Jesus Christ. They carried on his ministry. They did what they saw him do. So a disciple is someone who loves and follows Jesus, who watches what he does, and then he follows, or she follows, his example. This week, as part of our community groups, we're going to talk about how we grow from one stage of following Jesus to the next. Excited to share on Tuesday. But today we want to begin here. A follower of Jesus, a disciple, is an imitator, not a spectator. It's not, "Go get him, Jesus." It's, "What do you have for us today?" So how do we make disciples? You guys always ask the best questions. Let me answer that for you. We take our following seriously. We do. If we reproduce who we are and what we are, we had better follow Jesus carefully. I want to be a healthy follower of Jesus so that maybe I can be used by God to reproduce other healthy followers of Jesus, who can be used by God to reproduce other healthy followers of Jesus. Is there a pattern here? That means with the help of the Holy Spirit, I want to win my personal battles with sin. Like Jesus, making disciples begins with seeing people. Seeing people. My wife and I have been re-watching the show The Chosen, this time with subtitles. We missed so much. My wife turns to me and said, "Do you remember that from that episode?" I'm like, "No, not really." But one of the things that I love by watching that is to be able to see the facial expressions of Jesus and other people. Like when they in the episode when he sees a leper. I mean, back in those days, a leper was... they thought it was contagious, and they would shout at the leper to get away and maybe throw stones at him. And Jesus walks right up to him, and the people are like, "What are you doing? Are you out of your mind?" And he embraces, in this case, a man with leprosy. And he prays for him. And his leprosy, while we watch, is healed. Wow. Jesus sees people. Or the time when he saw Matthew, that rotten tax collector, that collaborator with the Romans, and Jesus sees him and speaks to him. And this is crazy. Jesus said, "Matthew, follow me." And he does. He has no idea what that means. But he's noticed the holiness of this rabbi, that here is someone different who sees him and loves him. So as we become followers of Jesus, as we make disciples, we see people, even people that we would be tempted to look past. Like they're not among the influential. They'll never be a mover and shaker. How in the world do we know what somebody could become or how God could use them? We have no idea. So to be a follower of Jesus, to make disciples, it begins by seeing people, and then we show kindness. We are authentic. We are sincere. We are winsome, attractive to others. Should we not be winsome? Should we not be attractive? Forgive me, but I see some bumper stickers on people's cars, and I'm like, how is this winsome? How is this attracting anybody who doesn't know Jesus to Jesus? I'm going to carry around some bumper stickers that say, please forgive me. Be a big improvement. Come on. We are to demonstrate the love of Jesus. The love of Jesus. We are to be winsome, attractive, gentle, sincere, focusing on the things that matter most. Other people will see that and say, what makes them so different? Why are they so caring, so sincere, so genuine, so humble? And we explain that it's Jesus, that he brings us into a whole new life. And as we interact with others, we patiently play the midwife, hoping and helping someone experience a new birth in the family of God. We intentionally become encouragers. We open doors of opportunity for people, not in a pushy, bossy kind of way, but in a loving way. I thought of you and thought that maybe I love this book, thought it might be an encouragement to you. And we do this together, this making of disciples. We all have a part to play in disciple making, but we never play all the parts, right? One person plants, another waters, another harvests. The Apostle Paul talked about that. We all have different parts, but we all bring gifts to the table, to the process. What might that look like? Maybe one of us invites a friend to church. You ought to check it out. I think you'd be encouraged. Somebody, one of our wonderful greeters, greets them at the door. The person sitting next to them turns and says hello, and if appropriate, engages them in some conversation. The worship team does a great job leading us into the presence of God. The speaker of the day helps them understand a portion of God's truth. The Holy Spirit whispers to them, this is what you've been looking for all your life. During the response time, they pray a simple prayer. God, I need you. I want you in my life. They attend the Begin class. I'll tell you more about that in a moment. And they find out some basics about following Jesus. You see how there's all different people with all different gifts, all part of this process. Paul says in Ephesians 4, it's a reading on Tuesday, that each person has been given a gift, a grace to bring to the body of Christ. Each person. That includes you. And I wonder, what is your part? I'm going to give you a moment to think about two things, our big questions for the day. Are you a disciple of Jesus? Like not a spectator, not a fan, but a follower. And if your honest answer would be no, I want you to know that Jesus today asks you, will you follow me? Will you become a disciple? And then the other question, if you are absolutely a follower of Jesus, then what is your part in making disciples? What is your part to play? God's not asking you to do anybody else's part, just yours. But he wants you to do your part. This whole disciple-making process, are you winsome? Are you purposefully encouraging and investing, building relationships with other people? So I have something I'm going to share with you in just a moment, but before we do that, let's respond. Are you a follower of Jesus? And if you are you part of this making of disciples, this job that Jesus gave to us? Let's think and pray about what we've heard this morning. Father, I pray for anyone here today who has not said, yes, Jesus, I will follow you. And like Peter and the others, they didn't know exactly all that that would mean, but they've encountered you. And I pray that maybe today, someone would say, yes, Jesus, I'm in. I will follow you. And for all of us, no matter where we find ourselves in our life journey, you've put people into our lives to influence, people to build relationships with, people that we just click with, that we can encourage in some way, that we could be part of this process of making disciples. Will you show us what our part is? Don't play all the parts, but help us to faithfully do our part to cultivate our gifts, to use them to make disciples, even as other people have invested in us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Dave, could you put up our slide about the disciple-making process? So, we've not been very intentional over the last few years as a church. We don't have a disciple-making pastor at this point. So the campus pastors have felt a real burden for this. Like, we want people to know and have a clear pathway for what's next. And so this is the start. You can see it's not super specific, but it's a place to begin. We want to have several times a year a chance to meet the pastor on all of our campuses. Who are we and who are you? Some of you haven't been able to get to one of those events. Our next one will be in January. We're starting a Begin class. It's a 5-week curriculum based on the book called Begin. That starts 2 weeks from today. Greg and Shannon Niver, who are really wonderful people, he's our facilities manager, but wonderful people, they're going to start a Begin class. It's for those who are sitting here and thinking, this is all kind of new to me, and there's a lot I don't understand, some of the basics of our faith. So it's in room 134 at 9 o'clock. It starts on October 15th, and on the paper outline, and there's some available probably on your way out, there's a way for you to register. Simply add the church number as a contact, and if you text that number, the word begin, what comes back to you is a little form to fill out with your email address and name, and that's the way to register to that class. It's 5 weeks long, and then you'll get a confirmation text and email, and if I can do it, you can do it. So I tried it. So if the things of faith are new to you, it'd be a perfect way for you to begin. And then after that, you see that there's, maybe you're coming in and you're not a young follower of Jesus, but you're ready to plug in somewhere. Maybe you need to experience some healing, and maybe a divorce care group or a grief share group or Re-Engage or Financial Peace. Maybe one of the healing ministries or pastoral counseling, which I do. Maybe that's your next step. For some of you, maybe it's simply serving. Maybe serving here at Bayview, or maybe you'll help with childcare for MOPS. There's just many opportunities for you to serve, but serving is a wonderful way to grow and meet other people. And then the last part is, and this is our biggest area to work on, for you to be part of a community group, some kind of a small group that studies God's Word and grows together. Right now, one of the easiest way to do that would be to come to like a ladies' Bible study on Tuesday morning or ladies' and men's Bible study on Tuesday night at 6:30 right here. So we believe that people grow best when they're part of a group doing life together. So we just wanted to unveil that to let you know that this is an area of need for our church, and we're taking steps. We want to think clearly so that we don't say in 6 months, oh, we changed our mind about that part. This is a very general outline, but it's all based on the premise that for all of us, there is a next step in our discipleship, a next step of maturity, fruitfulness, a way that God wants to use us. And so we just wanted to introduce this to you. We want to give everybody, no matter where they are, a next step so that they can grow in following Jesus.